And then without much further ado, I'd like to pass on to Dr. Helge Giese, so we will hear more about humans now. Helge Giese is a psychologist, a social psychologist, actually, interested in the social influence on human behavior and decision-making. He's a postdoctoral fellow in an independent research position here at the University of Konstanz. He's also a member of the Center for the Advanced Study of Collective Behavior. And here you can see the title of his talk, "How Experimental Network Coordination Games May Help Us Understand Opinion Dynamics in Groups." Take it away, Helge.
Yeah, thanks for the introduction. And also thanks, Ari, for the work for introducing the topic. I prepared a few slides that link to this, I would think. So in more general terms, I think we are all convinced that social influence is important and collectives are important. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be in this talk. And there are, of course, examples of social influence, both in animals, as we learned in the last talk, but also in humans. This is just an example from our research for alcohol consumption that tends to cluster socially. So you can basically also look at the dynamics of networks and behavior, not only in animal realms, but also in human societies or human groups. And this may help to find good solutions to problems. But in human research, I think we are currently focused on one issue, namely the problem of polarization in groups and networks, specifically on topics like vaccination. So that's one of our research topics that basically look at the social reactions on mis and disinformation and likes and polarization of attitudes, for instance, on topics like vaccination, that may be highly problematic if you want basically to convince people to obtain a vaccine in a pandemic. And while lots of people try to study this observationally, and I'm certain in the conference you have heard some talks about this, we, Ari and I and Nico and Felix, are trying to catch it from a more experimental angle and basically look how the network structure and information may diffuse. So there may be simple information spread in networks, and cheap ties are considered to be beneficial to the spread of information. But for the spread of opinions and attitudes, this may or may not be true, and it's still unclear whether the provision of cheap communication may actually help us to find common sense, or whether it's a more complex reinforcing procedure that is not benefiting from cheap direct weak ties. But so in this context, we're basically trying to infer how opinions may diffuse in networks. So in contrast to simple information diffusion, we have people that have an opinion in the network and try to convince others about this opinion in this network. And in our first attempts, we did this in a student network. So we had a friendship network of students, actually the one you saw before concerning alcohol consumption. And we basically tried to simulate information diffusion by playing a password game where people could puzzle a password together from letters they would receive. So each individual would receive one letter from the password. And there were two conflicting versions of the password. So we hope to find, based on social closeness, a different solution to the problem. And what we found was that people were able to cut our communication and use just a WhatsApp group to exchange information for a seemingly optimal communication position, and therefore the whole experiment was useless for data observation because they all entered the same solution. Given that experience, we then decided, and that's also where Ari came into play, to control the communication of individuals even further, to kind of see how and have like a petri dish model to observe how opinions may evolve within a network. And this offers several advantages. One is that we can isolate certain network topologies and control the spread throughout the network compared to the students where we couldn't control it. And we can also control the strength of initial preference of opinions so that we can basically make sure all opinions are included and there hasn't been a polarization occurring in the beginning. And we can study this process repeatedly for several groups so that we have sufficient power to determine the role of the specific network topology and of the specific opinions within this network topology. This can be done not only for humans, but can also be a petri dish model for animal group behavior, as you have heard in the previous talk, basically by modeling opinions and networks. The hope is that this generalizes not only to the human system, but also to animal decisions where certain individuals may be opinionated to move in one direction and others may be opinionated to move in the other direction to disentangle the role of the network position in the communication network of those individual animals. So this is an attempt also to have a petri dish model for other systems. And the paradigm we implemented so far is a 7-group experiment where we have 7 individuals that have to coordinate online to agree on 1 of 2 colors within 50 trials. They're recruited via Amazon Turk and have to choose between 2 colors each. And the bonus is dependent on the time they need to find agreement. And for the network, basically, we implemented that only a subset of the players are visible to each other. So basically, this is our implementation of a communication network. The group of 7 is small for human groups, but it's crucial for the experimentation setup because dropouts are exponentially increasing with larger group sizes. So we decided on smaller groups, but of course one could try to extend this to even larger groups in this online setup. And this again may model non-human animal behavior also coming to consensus with incomplete information and repeatedly interacting with others in a certain network. This is how the paradigm will look like. So you have the information on the rounds you have played so far, how your bonus would be if all people would agree on a color, your selection of the last round, the selection of the players you were able to see in the last round, and your next choice. This basically is part of this particular network where the subject E here is depicted as individual, and therefore we could implement various network structures here. And we, in this particular experiment, we decided for a fixed structure of a clustered letter structure and this bar handle structure, since this has some interesting properties, but also compare this to an Erdős-Renyi connected network comparison with the same number of ties. So one can basically see the role of the number of ties, where you have here network with more ties and your network with fewer ties, and then whether these particular structures are different from these random structures. For opinion manipulation, we had various options and we opted to incentivize none. So basically this would be just finding mutual agreement without additional incentivization. Incentivizing one person getting an additional 50 cents for blue or yellow as a leadership condition, where basically one person incentivized and can lead the group to their choice. And then a conflict condition where people would be incentivized to opposing options. And by this paradigm, we can basically vary both the incentivization, but also the positioning of individuals, and of course, the amount of individuals incentivized for options as a generalization to more general problems, which some also found applications in other experiments. And this is then how the behavior may look like for 50 trials. So here you see basically a group playing across the time and having problems finding consensus. We may look at certain rules later onwards, why this may be the case in this particular setup. If we look at the timing of convergence, so basically we compare now the different conditions we have concerning how many rounds people would play until they find consensus. And what we find is that the number of links, so whether it's 14 links, which would be the clustered lattice, or the random with 14 links, or whether there are 8 links, does play a role in coordination. So people are quicker to coordinate when there are more ties. And also in leadership, we find people are quicker to find agreement when there are more ties. However, what we don't find is that under conflict, particularly in the random structures, so the two, the clustered lattice and the bar handle, are difficult to compare. But if we look at the random structures, there's no difference anymore in the number of ties. So if there's a conflict involved, the amount of communication possible within this group doesn't help you to find consensus, and also slows down consensus over time. If we look at the outcomes of the decisions, we find that leaders typically will get their will. So if groups converge, they rather converge on a leader's position compared to the opposing position. And we also looked at the individual decision making in this experimental data set, and could basically recover that people tend to follow the local majority within the group as a decision rule, but stick to their previous choice if they hadn't had an opinion before. So if your last choice was blue, the likelihood that you choose blue was higher compared to choosing yellow, and in particular, the more support you find for blue within the neighborhood. And the opposing pattern is true for if your last choice was yellow. For people that were incentivized, we also find the role of social majority, local majority, namely that if you are opposing all others, you see, you're more likely to compromise to this option, and you're also more willing to compromise the longer the experiment carries on. So you basically stick to your option, and after a certain while you reconsider and move towards the local neighborhood. And we summarized these findings in a model of behavior, where we basically had different decision-making rules for the individuals to make the decision. And we find that a simple majority rule with inertia, so following the majority if there is one and keeping to your current behavior if there is none, best predicts the individual decisions, but also the speed of the outcome and the group outcome in simulations. And it can also more or less recover the results we find from the estimated hazard of convergence or estimated likelihood of convergence or the speed of convergence, the data I showed you on the first results slide with this simulated data set. Further questions one can answer, particularly with this bar handle structure, is looking at different centrality measures and the role they may take on guiding the group decision. And that's what we did in a separate experiment where we basically had conflict trials and leadership trials and looked whether the positioning of the individuals in this network would make a difference, both again on convergence speed, but also on convergence outcome. And we find that degree centrality, so basically position B was superior to position C and A in terms of determining the group outcome. And for speed, we find a very interesting pattern in the sense that the speed is faster if there is no degree conflict or if there is basically a neighboring conflict with the same degree. So if we explain this pattern by arguing that if people have the same degree centrality, they have basically the same power over the network, therefore it may take longer for people to find a consensus, and they may deal out a consensus if they have the same, if they see each other's behaviors and directly neighboring. Also, we see a pattern if they are not direct neighbors that they tend to, the networks tend to quickly polarize in a sense that one arm of the bar handle is preferring one option and the other arm of the bar handle is preferring the other option, and this person is kind of caught in between trying to moderate between the two positions, and therefore it takes time to the time to convergence is increased. So from our current experimental data, we can sum up that this experimental networks design helps to further scrutinize the role of structure and opinions on communication, to separate it from observational data. It seems that density facilitates group coordination unless conflicts are involved. And in our data, we find evidence for local majority rules with inertia that explain both individual and group patterns of decision making. And from the second experiment, we can also say that it, apparently in this communication, degree centrality plays a more central role than information centrality in determining the outcome of the groups. Yeah, future directions will be, we want to relate social dominance to communication network outcomes. We want to look at dynamic networks and also eventually define structures that may be used to facilitate consensus and work against polarization. Yeah, that's, I think Wolfgang already switched on his video, so that's basically all I had to present.
Yeah, thank you very much, Helge. That was very interesting to see some similarities, but also I think many differences to what we've seen in the meerkats and then what's going on in humans. So I think the first difference that you had here was that they actually could not communicate really with one another, only via the choices they made. And probably the situation would be very different once they could start communicating with one another. So what do you think? What is, if you give people the option to communicate, what will then happen? Would it be very different, or would it be basically similar in the end?
Well, it depends whether you would allow communication between all members. So basically deleting the network, then of course, I would assume that in this case, coordination will be quite quick. It may depend a bit on the individual incentivization for one of the two options. There may be some insulting going on. The reason we cut it out in the first place was that the experience within the social network of the students, people basically circumvented any communication and came to an erroneous conclusion about the topics of the study, but coordinated very well on the outcome. So I could assume that something similar would happen if we would allow free communication via text.
Although free communication is, of course, then again, not a realistic setup, right? You would have some kind of network structure also for the communication so that not everybody has access to everybody else. And this is probably different in the student cohort because they also knew each other and so forth. So I think some of the results would probably still hold true if the communication were allowed.
So, in this case, they don't have much arguments, since this is not a question about truth. This is a question about opinion, so they don't have any arguments. So if I would just allow constrained communication within this network ties, they may just tell you, well, please do yellow. I'm doing yellow for all the time. Why don't you comply with me? So they may be a bit more forceful in their demands, but basically I would assume that the structure holds because there are not much more options you can use for communication within this paradigm, which may also be a positive thing because it constrains a lot of noise that you would have with natural occurring data. Mm-hmm. As you could see in the Merkatz example.
Thank you very much. Wataru Toyokawa has a question. Please, Wataru, and then please also the audience, if you have questions, put a plus sign in the chat or just turn on your video.
Hi, great talk. Thanks, Herge. I have a question in your color coordination task, especially for the leadership condition. So the your majority of your result suggests the groups could successfully reach the consensus, I think, which it makes sense because these are one single reader exist. But I was wondering, although it's very minority of the result, but there still exists some deadlock emerged in that condition. And I was wondering how such result emerges. Have you found any, for example, like kind of keystone individual or who is a particular cause of this deadlock, or have you got any idea why still deadlock happened?
Yes, we actually had some sequential analysis. So more generally speaking, the position of the leader doesn't play a role, at least in our analyses. So it doesn't appear to have a role. However, people in the first trial had a choice between blue and yellow and basically acted randomly on this decision. And if the majority of the group was randomly choosing the option the leader wasn't incentivized to, the leader would actually take more time to convince the group back to option. And that's why leadership wasn't quicker than a no conflict scenario or no information scenario, where basically people could directly converge on a majority. And in the leadership, the starter was kind of split in half for the group that, if the group majority was initially in line with the leader's incentivized option or if it was opposed to it.
Mm-hmm. Ah, interesting. Thank you.